Advent. Advent is the season we remember Jesus' first coming and look forward to his return. But so often the meaning of this season gets lost in the noise and the chaos surrounding Christmas. So with our Advent conspiracy series, we have explored ways that we can look past all of that and still make a difference in the world around us. Four thoughts that when lived out can change us and change the world around us. Putting the focus back on Christmas, right where it belongs. Making the holiday not so much about the theology of more, but about the theology of enough, and discovering what God intended for his people. And not just a differently shaped holiday, but a different life altogether. To worship fully, leaning into our faith, like Mary did, when life doesn't quite work out maybe the way we had expected it to. And to spend less isn't just about money, but freeing up our resources, our time, our talents, and our treasures, which allows us then ultimately to be able to give more of our hands, our words, and our heart in all things. And that's what we're going to spend some time on today, giving more. Now take a moment and think back in the past as some of the best gifts you've been given, whether it's a Christmas or a birthday, Mother's Day, Father's Day, whatever it is, the gifts you remember most. Now I did a search to find out what were some of the most meaningful gifts people had received. Now I did a search to find out because I didn't want to use any of my own and risk the chance of showing any kind of emotion, lest you think I was getting soft. And here's what I found. Brenda wrote, "The most meaningful gift came from my then 10-year-old daughter who wrote a letter on her own and had stashed it behind the Christmas tree. She surprised us with it after all the gifts had been opened. She expressed gratitude to my husband and me for being her parents and told us how much she loved us. It brought tears of joy to our eyes. I have since framed this simple handwritten letter and hung it on the wall of our bedroom. It will forever be the most meaningful gift I'll ever receive." Wendy said, "One year I wrote a poem for my sister that included moments of our childhood, which included the most meaningful moments and also some plain funny ones. She cried when she read it, and I scored high on the Christmas gift meter. The next year she one-upped me and cross-stitched the entire poem, circling words with floral designs and had it framed. And then it was my turn to cry," she said. And Laura told the story of the first year her husband and her were married. She said, "My parents gave me a nativity set. She said it wasn't expensive, but it came with a little baggie full of straw to lay on the stable floor for full effect. It wasn't an expensive nativity. However, it became the most important part of decorating our home at Christmas time. And it was a very simple gift, yet it is something that we have put up every year we've been married, and even later involved our children in getting it out. We talk about it as a family, about each piece and its meaning, and why it has a very prominent spot in our home. It is a very special item to us because it came from our parents on our first Christmas but even more because of the because it is a strong reminder of the very first Christmas. Last year, I was given a much nicer, more expensive nativity, and my mother asked if she could have the one she gave us the first year we were married. I thought about it, but I just couldn't let go of this special nativity we've had all these years. Too many memories attached to this special part of our Christmas tradition. Instead, I bought her one for herself. Now, we would all like to have a laptop or a new iPod or rifle or something incredibly expensive for Christmas. Or buy some tremendous present for our children. But how many times have we bought our child this great, great gift and after looking at it, they end up sitting on the floor and playing with the box? The gifts we remember are the gifts that are relational. They're likely not very expensive, but they connect with the unique relationship from the giver. Most people nowadays, though, they just walk up and down store aisles or they just scroll through the pages on the internet to find a gift because we have to give something. And we end up giving something that people don't need, don't want, and will never probably use. It is estimated that this year, $70 billion worth of products will be returned the first few days after Christmas. Memorable gifts are relational gifts. We only need to look back at what God gave us on that very first Christmas for tips on how to give memorable gifts. God's answer to the world has never been things of this world, things which can rust and corrode. But he sent his son to show us the way and how to and give his life for all of us. Giving can be a great way to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, but only when we give relationally, not out of obligation. Our giving can reflect in a small way the power and the beauty of God coming into the world as one of us. John 1, starting with verse 1, describes Jesus in a very philosophical and theological way. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him." Now, when we have been in church for a long time, sometimes we miss the power that comes with this scripture and with this name. God became human. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is a word that has always existed and became as a human to be in this specific place at a specific time in this moment in history to show all of us the way to God. When we read further in 1 John and verse in John 1, verse 14, it says that the Word became flesh and took the form as a child. Now, this miracle is called incarnation. God as human, God with us, God took flesh and bone. This miracle is not just that Jesus is God, but that Jesus as God chose to become one of us. That's incarnation. The one who spoke the galaxies into existence, says Alan Hirsch, moved into our neighborhood in an act of humble love, the likes of which the world has never known. Because of the incarnation, God becomes more tangible, more approachable, and more comprehensible maybe not completely, fully. Because of Jesus, we know better how the God of the who the God of the universe is and what God is really like. This is a relational gift to end all relational gifts. We remember and celebrate the incarnation each time we gather in worship and each time we come to the communion table, both of which we get to do this morning. But without the incarnation, there is no way we could know and understand the depths of the love of God. And that's what we come to celebrate each Christmas. Now, here are a few takeaways for you this morning of the reality of this incarnation that we can learn and how to give relationally. First, we see that God gave us his presence. John 3:16, for God so loved the what? He gave his only, that whoever in him shall not, but have eternal. Thank you for participating. God has a face, a voice. He lived like a real person with real people, with real joys and struggles. There's something very tangible about this gift of actual presence. In our world today that keeps moving further and further away from face-to-face contact, from this face-to-face presence, if we wanted to, we could live completely through emails and text and Facebook and Twitter and whatever else is out there. We would not have to have any contact with people at all. Now, sometimes I can appreciate that a little bit. But other times you want to look someone in the eye and you want to talk to them face to face. But we're losing that ability altogether. When I was still in the military, I sent a document to Guard Bureau in D.C. to have some signatures. And then I called for a follow-up to see where it was in the process. And if I could try to speed it up a little bit. So I called the captain, first of all, to see if he'd signed it. And he said he had signed it. He had printed it, he had signed it, he scanned it, and he emailed it to the lieutenant colonel, who would print it, sign it, and mail it back to me. Now, I had been out there to where these offices were. It wasn't like we're talking about the Capitol and then to the Pentagon. And so I said, sir, isn't the colonel's office like right across the hall from you? Couldn't you have just walked it over there and had him sign it so I could complete my paperwork? Silence on the other end of the phone. He didn't even answer the question. Like, I was the idiot for asking the question. All these multimedia formats can be great ways to keep in touch with family, especially if we live a distance away from each other. But they can never replace a face-to-face relationship. We need to be with each other. We need to hear voices, see faces. We need to hold hands. We need to touch. That's one of the ways we are reminded that we are never really alone. When we make time to be one another, it's a gift. It's a relational gift of time. A conscious giving of time and presence to each other is not a new concept, but is a neglected concept today. We need to find ways to express to our family and our friends that we like being with them, or at least that we don't mind being with them. Make time for one another. that doesn't involve our phones or televisions or computers, just time to be together. And maybe time as a family, just in the same area. Letting them know that they are the most important person in your life right now. And also, the gift of Jesus was personal. We read the Christmas story that the Savior has been born to you. That was a very personal gift. Time and time again, we see that Jesus loved to be with people and intentionally worked on those relationships. He listened, he noticed, he paid attention. He did everything that people in a hurry, people in the first century and people in the 21st century forget to do. We've all received gifts that were less than personal, and if we were honest here today, we've probably all given one or two of those gifts. Those generic, disposable gifts that said, you know, I pretty much forgot about you until I was on my way here this morning, but I really felt obligated that I had to give you something. So here you go. Love, Mom and Dad. Not exactly the kind of gift that reminds us about the story of Jesus. Relational giving means that we've paid attention to the other person. We've thought about who they are, and we care about who they are based on our giving. Now, this can take a lot of energy for some people, but with some creativity and a little luck, we come up with a great relational gift. And finally, the gift of Jesus was costly. We see in the incarnation God becoming a servant. Jesus didn't force his way into the world as a powerful ruler, which, by the way, he could have done. Jesus entered in the humblest of ways that led directly to the cross. Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Mark 10:45. The gift of God, the gift God gave us, cost him everything. Relational giving will cost us, not necessarily financially, but it will cost us time, it will cost us energy, and it can be risky. Will they understand the meaning behind this gift? If it has some significance to what happened in the past or when we were children, will they get it? There's some anticipation with that. Will they appreciate it? And even if they don't right away, if we have to explain it to them a little bit, they will understand. It's still a blessing. They will still be happy. So here are some ideas to help you give more. If you're overwhelmed, start small. Choose one person to give a relational gift to. Invest in an experience. Invest in an experience you can share. Sign up for dance lessons or a cooking class or plan a vacation. On Christmas morning, turn the ringer off on your phone. I tell you to turn your phone off, but we pretty much use those as cameras. But turn the ringer off. Don't answer the phone. Be all in with your family. Share good memories of Christmases past. Get a blank journal and start writing notes and prayers to your children and your spouse. Buy a gift that relieves a burden for somebody. Babysitting money, yard work, or groceries. Do an activity with your kids. Puzzles, jewelry making, baking, hiking, or fishing. Whatever it is, think about the people you want to give to. It's not about the giver. It's about the person you are giving to. Let us pray. God, we come to you this time of year where we want to put all of our focus on you. We are reminded of the perfect gift that you gave us on that first Christmas morning. Let us return our focus to what matters most and not get lost in the busyness of this season. Thank you, Lord, for the many blessings you have given us.